Now, residents in Wisconsin's Central Sands region are suing one of the biggest dairy farms over water access. Residents allege that the farm's massive irrigation rigs are using an unsustainable amount of water and that fertilizer pollution is making water undrinkable. Our next guest has been following the story and is here to break down what's happening with the lawsuit. Josephine Marcotti recently retired as an environmental reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. She's now a part-time writer for the Star Tribune's weekly science page. Josephine, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Judith. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us. So let's start with the big picture. What role does water play in the Central Sands region of Wisconsin?
Well, water plays a big role everywhere. It's especially true in that part of the state because there are sort of two, opposing demands for it. One, it's a very popular recreation area. People in Wisconsin love their water, and they love the activities they can do on water. And at the same time, it is a major agricultural region, and the farmers need and use that water for irrigation.
And this has not always been as productive an agricultural area before as it is now. What role did high-capacity wells and irrigation systems play in making this such a dominant agricultural area?
It is truly key to what agriculture has been able to accomplish there. And if you look at the data from the Wisconsin DNR, where you can track all of the development of the high-capacity wells over time, and it's really been a long, steady growth, which has really exploded in the last 10, 20 years. Farming there really wouldn't be possible. Farming at that level would not be possible without irrigation.
And what kind of evidence is there? Like you were saying, there's a lot of recreational water use. You talk about people seeing huge differences in streams and lakes in that area because of irrigation. What are some of the concrete ways that that's showing up?
Well, the Central Sands area is, there has these lovely little lakes, in part because it's so sandy. And also, there's hundreds of trout streams there. But the science has shown that there's a very clear, direct connection between groundwater and surface water. It's much more direct than you get in most other kinds of most other regions, just because it's just a big sandbox. So when in dry years, even without irrigation, you can see lake levels drop and stream levels drop. But the combination of dry years with irrigation can be truly detrimental to some of those lakes, according to some of the science out of University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. I mean, lakeshore owners could see their, the water just drop by feet, and trees grow up, back where there used to be docks. So you can see a really direct connection there between water and dry years and irrigation.
So that's specifically water usage, but there's also the issue of water contamination. Why is an area like the Central Sands so susceptible to water contamination?
Well, the groundwater is very shallow, and so when people put in wells for their homes, they can't go below the pollution. So, because of bedrock, so the wells can only go down as 100 or 200 feet at the most, and that's exactly where the water is contaminated because the fertilizers and the manure percolate straight from the surface down through the sandy soils and into the groundwater, and then it moves across the land toward whatever river it's headed for, which is in the Central Sands is generally speaking the Wisconsin River.
We're talking with Josephine Marcotti right now. She recently retired as an environmental reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. She's now a part-time writer for the Star Tribune's weekly science page. And we're talking about a lawsuit that is pitting residents of Wisconsin's Central Sands area against large agricultural firms. And you mentioned fertilizers, Josephine, and nitrates are one of the big contaminants that come from that. What do high nitrate levels mean environmentally and for human health?
High nitrate levels do have an effect on aquatic life, on fish and invertebrates, on frogs. I mean, it affects, high nitrates can affect animal life just like it affects people. It is one of the few agricultural contaminants for which there is a health standard issued by the EPA, and that's been around for many, many years, and the standard is 10 parts per million. it was based, or it is tied to a condition that infants get called blue baby syndrome. There's a much more long and complicated scientific name that I can never remember, but I always think it's called blue baby syndrome because the nitrate molecules attach to the blood cells in a baby's body, and they block oxygen from getting into the body, which is why babies turn blue, and they call it blue baby syndrome. But there are also, in recent years, they're beginning to see other other health issues related to nitrate, some cancers, and also some reproductive issues in pregnant women, and also neurological development problems in infants, one of which is called anencephaly or neural tube defects. So the recent science shows that there may be other reasons to worry about nitrate other than just blue baby syndrome.
And I want to point out that our colleagues at wiscontext.org have done some reporting on blue baby syndrome, and people can find that reporting there. And it was actually a mother's very anguished blog post about the death of her infant because of these contaminants that really sparked this lawsuit. Selena Stewart's baby died, and how did the communities respond?
You know, I heard about this after the fact. Her baby died in 2016, and I started reporting on this last year, so that would have been 2018. And I think that the reaction to what happened with Selena, it took a while to build within the communities, all of which are sort of around Wisconsin Rapids. There's the town of Nakusa, and where a lot of people live, and that's where she lived. But she had a baby that had a neural tube defect, and she was faced with a really horrible choice, the kind of choice that, you know, parents sometimes experience when they have a baby with developmental issues. She knew that if she carried the baby to term, the baby would most likely die. And then if she decided to end her pregnancy, then the baby would also die. And so she was faced with that terrible choice. Because of the severity of the malformation, and I think several months after they experienced that, she wrote a blog post, she made public her story. And even though the blog post didn't really mention the high nitrate in drinking water, all the people who lived in that community, which is very small, you know, knew what had happened and knew what some of the health risks were. And over time, I think the concerns and sort of the anger just began to build. You know, there's not really any true evidence that her child developed that condition because of high nitrate. It's an affiliation. I mean, there has been some research that shows that women who are exposed to high nitrate have higher incidence of those kinds of problems with their infants, but it's not a direct link.
And so a lawsuit has been filed. What stage is that at now?
You know, the lawsuit was filed in November, and so I'm assuming now that the attorneys are going through a process of discovery. It may also be that they're talking about potential settlement. That often happens in lawsuits like this too, where they figure out a way to resolve the problems for the people in the community.
And what has industry's response been to date?
You know, they have not. They didn't agree to sit down with me for an interview. At least the Wysocki Family Farms, which is the company involved with the drinking water issues in that part of the state. But you know, they say what they have taken steps to help local residents get clean water. They are providing them with bottled water if they need it, or treatment systems in their homes if they want that. They are working with the Wisconsin DNR and the Environmental Protection Agency to come up with some kind of long-term solution, and then I think they're also working on doing more well monitoring to try to get a better sense of how widespread the problem is. So they also say that in some of their statements, both to me and in their press releases, that they blame what they call legacy nitrate contamination, meaning that this was nitrates or fertilizer that were applied, you know, over time, over many decades.
Well, certainly a lot there, and we'll keep following this story. Josephine, thanks so much for bringing us up to date.
My pleasure.
Josephine Marcotti recently retired as an environmental reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. She's now a part-time writer for the Star Tribune's weekly science page. She joined us today to talk about a fight over drinking water between residents in central Wisconsin and large-scale farms.